Good old Chipotle.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, gang.
How's
Part
it going?
Two.
Lore
the Volsungs are back in action.
Yeah.
Well, they never left action, but we're back in action.
We're back in action.
To tell you their story.
Yeah, we're finishing it up. We're wrapping up this Lore Hour miniseries on the Volsungs. But
well, I don't know if we can even call it a miniseries. For the Volsungs,
it's,
yeah.
It's two, yeah. Just two
because we'll be doing Lore Hours.
But yeah, we'll be doing Lore Hour. We'll come back for sure.
Yeah,
we got a lot of things. I've been wanting to. I want to do a Lore Hour on Dark Souls. I want to explore that whole
the lore of that world,
universe, and Lord of the Rings. I mean, there's just a lot of good stuff that.
We'll do something big for Loader.
Yeah. Also,
we might do like a full week.
I would like to do
like one each day.
Yeah, I think that would be great. We could do an entire thing, and then we can do only one episode on The Hobbit. Take that, Peter Jackson.
Yeah, or we can just pretend. Well, you say take that, Peter Jackson, but he also directed the original.
Yeah, no,
trilogy,
I know.
So it's like
no, but I mean,
you're like, take that, Peter Jackson. We only like half of your work.
Well, no, he doesn't need. That's the thing is, I was saying we only need to do one episode on The Hobbit.
What do you think made those movies so terrible? The Hobbit movies.
That
be the CGI,
they stretched.
Right?
The CGI wasn't
the fact
very
that
good.
The fact that, that kind of CGI was available, I felt like everyone, they kind of got lazy with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like George Lucas. He was like, wow, this is available. I'm just going to rely on it very heavily and ruin things.
Yeah.
But also just the fact that it was a very short book that was stretched into three very long movies.
Yeah, and they took a couple things from the Silmarillion, and then they just threw some things that never happened. They just threw them in there.
Yeah, it was like it was just to stretch it out, because with Lord of the Rings, three big books get turned into three big movies.
Yeah.
But with The Hobbit, like, why?
Yeah, the principal photography for that was 2 years.
Really?
Yeah, they were just filming for 2 years.
Wow.
That's how they, you know, they released them like one or two. Was one each year for like 3 years? They released
the
them
Hobbit
really
or Lord of the Rings.
The Lord of the Rings. They did like because they did like one a year
they,
or one
like
a year and a
years.
Half.
I thought they were 2 years
because they filmed the whole thing all at once, and then they, as far as I understand, they.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Anyhow, we last left our hero, Sigurd, and the castle Smith.
Do you want to do a recap? Just like a short recap of what happened last time.
Well, they should probably listen to part one,
yeah,
but what we can say
back.
Is basically the Volsungs are a long line of epic badasses.
Of people whose names mostly begin with the letters S-I or S-I-G.
Yeah.
You know, you got your Sigurds, your Sigmunds.
Sigmund, yeah.
Yeah, you know, all those good
Signy,
things.
Signy, yeah.
Just a line of cool dudes killing a lot of people.
And chicks, couple
yeah,
of
and
cool chicks.
Chicks. I'm sorry.
Some dudettes thrown in there.
But yeah, so now we're back.
Basically, what you need to know is the heir, the main heir to the Volsungs at where we are when we pick up. His name is Sigurd.
Yes,
And he was supposedly proclaimed to be, you know, he was fated by the Norns, who are like the Fates,
mm-hmm.
To basically be the baddest of the bad. Even though his ancestors have all been pretty epic heroes, they basically said he's going to be the best.
Yeah,
and he's going to do some crazy shit.
Yeah, he's
and so he's grown up in a castle because his father died in battle while his mother was pregnant with him. So he's been raised at a different king's sort of as part of his court, I guess. Did they have
mm-hmm.
court?
Yeah. He was raised by this king's blacksmith.
Hjalprek.
Yeah, but
the blacksmith, his name is Regin.
He's raised by him.
R-E-G-I-N. So. Regin taught him all about, you know, swords and riding horses.
Sports,
and
he taught him about chess.
Yeah, he's just his general teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so when he left off, basically Sigurd had just gotten his horse, right? No, not yet.
No, not yet, no.
And so basically Regin approaches him one day and he's like, you know, I know about this dragon that I really need you to kill.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I don't know. It's a dragon, you know? And the one you're talking about, he's like, you need to slay the dragon Fafnir. And he was like, well, that's a big dragon. That's not even a regular dragon. It's a big one. And he's like, well, a real Volsung would do it.
Yeah.
You know, if you were really the heir, you would take care of this.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, what's the deal? Why do you push me to kill this dragon? I'm just a kid. And he says, well, I've got a story for you. And that's where we're picking up. Regin is about to spill the details about this dragon.
Yeah. So this dragon, Fafnir, Fafman, Faffy boy, you know, whatever you want. He's actually Regin's brother. What? Little plot twist.
His oldest brother.
Little Pepsi twist for you guys. So, but he has another brother, Otter.
Yeah, well, it's spelled like otter, so yeah. He takes the form of an otter.
Yeah, he looks like an otter.
Basically, what he says is, he's like, I have two brothers, there's three of us, and basically, they are great in the order that they were born. So, he basically says Fafnir is the strongest and the coolest.
Mm-hmm.
Otter's cool, too. And then there's me.
Yeah, like,
and I'm just the castle smith.
Yeah, I hang out. Yeah. But yeah, they're all the sons of Hreidmar, which I came across. Yeah. Hreidmar was a demon. Is what I came across in my research.
You got a source on that, bud?
I don't have a source on that, but it's not mentioned in the book.
Did your butthole talk to you and tell you that Hreidmar was a demon?
That is actually mentioned when Tolkien came back and wrote some fiction, basically fan fiction for the Volsungs.
Huh.
He wrote a little bit of that, and in his writings, he mentions that Hreidmar is a demon.
Which makes sense because based on what two of his kids can do.
Yeah, I mean, his kids are not...
Your average, ordinary, everyday kids.
Yeah, but Fafnir was not always a dragon.
Right.
As we will hear here.
Yeah.
So Otter, his other brother, the middle brother. The
middle child.
Yeah, you know, he's an otter, basically.
Basically, they say he's a really good fisherman.
Yeah.
So he just kind of fishes at the river. And I guess they don't go into detail about how he actually goes about it. But basically, they make it seem like he is so much like an otter in the way that he can catch fish that he basically can literally be an otter. Like, he can take the form.
It's very strange.
Form of an otter.
Yeah.
Shape of.
But yeah, so he's just hanging out. Meanwhile,
yeah, in otter skin,
yeah,
he's in the form of an otter.
Yeah, he's fully dolled up in his otter attire.
Which you should know, actually, that at that time otters were sacred animals,
as they still should be. I mean, they're so damn cute. I mean,
they're great.
How could you not?
Water dogs. Yeah.
But yeah, Odin, if you remember from earlier, or just Norse mythology in general, the big bad, essentially the Zeus of the Norse.
The All-Father.
Yeah, Father mythologies all. Here. And Loki, who you might know from the pictures. He's in the pictures these days.
He's in the pictures.
Yeah. They're out hanging out.
Trickster guy.
And they see Otter. And they just kill him. I can't remember why they
kill
him.
Yeah, Loki throws a rock at him and kills him, basically.
Like,
kills
but
him.
He's just like,
he's
he
like,
doesn't
hey,
do
is,
it for any
well,
real cause reason.
Well, because Loki is, you know, the ultimate mega dick of the Norse pantheon, so he's just like, he basically he's just all about the chaos.
Yeah,
he's a trickster god. He's not a good guy, so he just said, you know, oh, there's not an otter. There's not an otter. I'm just gonna pelt it with a rock.
Yeah,
not just cause. And so he kills it.
Not a nice move. Yeah, he kills it.
Yeah.
But
problem is that's a sacred animal, and it's also the son of a fairly powerful guy.
Yeah.
Especially if he's a demon.
Yeah, I mean, Hreidmar.
There's a status quo. You can't just kill the son of a demon.
Yeah.
And even if you're a god, there's a price to be paid.
Even in the original, where he's not specified to be a demon, you don't want to mess with this guy.
So yeah.
He Odin and Loki are actually they're forced to repay.
Basically, they owe him a debt for killing his son.
Yeah, they have to repay him, and it's such an odd, like. Request to be what he asked for is he wants his son Otter his skin to be filled with gold and covered as well basically
like fill up an otter skin in like a spherical bag shape and then also pile it under enough gold to cover it. Basically he's like you owe me a shit ton of
also
gold.
Yeah, I mean, I'm picturing this as a very large otter, like it's a big
otter, like a man-sized otter.
So yeah, this is a lot of gold we're talking about. So Loki goes out and he goes to this dwarf Andvari.
Yeah.
Andvari.
Yes. Who basically lives in a cave, like behind a waterfall.
Yeah. Very nice little hamlet.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And they also referred to him as a pike, so they made it seem like maybe the dwarf can turn into a large fish. I got confused.
That's what I was thinking.
Because that's how Loki, he goes to the waterfall and basically holds out a net and just catches them, and he's like, I'm taking your shit.
Got you, bro.
I mean, yeah, he's like, I want your gold. It's mine now.
He also steals a magical ring.
He does. And as he's doing this, Anvari says, fine, take the gold, but it's cursed. I'm cursing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm letting it be known. Anyone who possesses any piece of this gold.
And the ring.
And the ring, particularly the one ring.
Yeah.
Is cursed.
Yeah.
Like, ill fates will fall upon you. Of course, Loki doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, it says
he's giving it away. He's turning around and giving someone else the gold.
So why it says it will be the bane.
Yes, it's the bane of any man who possesses
the ring or the gold.
Yeah.
Because
the hoard of gold also, as we'll get to, includes all kinds of, not just like gold coins, but like, you know, ancient magical weapons and pieces of armor, special chainmail, special like magical golden chainmail.
Yeah, it's not like just the Scrooge McDuck gold coin thing. You know, you got a lot of different variations.
Yeah, he's not just swimming in the gold coins. He's trying on different outfits and
he's all doing gold. A lot of different stuff.
But basically, Loki, that's how he decides he's going to pay back his murder debt.
Yeah. But yeah, so the money gets back. Oh, also the ring can make gold. So that's another reason why I took it. So maybe this guy, it's not clear, maybe the dwarf didn't have enough gold. So, but when he found out the ring can make gold, he's like, I'm going to be needing that also.
Yeah.
So, which I mean, who wouldn't? So yeah, they pay their debt. Loki and Odin pay their debt to Hreidmar. But Fafnir, being the jerk that he is.
He's described as being very grim, but very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not a nice guy, but he is a tough guy.
Yeah. And so he kills his dad for the gold.
Yeah.
And he turns himself into a dragon using the ring, which is called Anvarnot, which means Anvari's gift.
So he uses the ring to become a dragon?
Yeah, he uses the ring to transform himself into a dragon, and I'm assuming make more gold because he...
Well, yeah, because he's obsessed with gold.
Yeah.
So to me, the way I read it, it almost seemed like he just became a dragon out of his obsession to have... The way they describe it is that worms, which are dragons, that they do that. They're obsessed with treasure and riches. And I guess he used the ring to turn into a dragon, and he just wants to while away his days in a big cave full of a dwarf's golden stash.
Yeah.
Which sounds kind of familiar.
Yeah, it does. If
you saw... The Hobbit films. Not pointing fingers.
Or read the book.
You know? Yeah, or read the book. Yeah.
I recommend
which
you that
is probably
instead.
Less likely.
Yeah.
But it does seem like it's possible that maybe Fafnir inspired Smaug.
I would say it's very possible. I'd say it's very possible.
We don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I'd say it's very possible.
I mean, it's an inspiring story.
But, I mean, next, when Sigurd enters the picture here, I mean, we get a little bit more a Tolkien. He on this journey.
Well, he basically says, okay, this dragon seems like he's obviously a piece of shit. I'll kill him for you, but I need a serious sword, like a good sword, because I guess an average sword could not kill...
No, this is...
Not
this
even
is
a regular Fafnir dragon, but especially about. Not a dragon like Fafnir. Just to give you a sense of... how big this dragon is. Well, you know, we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Let's slow it down. I feel like we kind of rushed through on the last one just because there were so many names and so many events
lots
to get
of Sigs.
Through. But basically, Sigurd says, first, I need a dope sword. And if you will recall, if you listened to part one, his father, Sigurd's father, Sigmund, possessed a sword gifted to him by Odin, which was like the uber sword, the best sword ever.
Yeah, it's called Gram or Grom. I prefer saying Grom.
It becomes Grom when they reforge it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so basically Odin was like, okay, your time's up. You got to give the sword back. And he was like, fuck that. And so he swings the sword at like a piece of, they call it a bill, but basically like Odin has like some kind of a contract or some kind of thing that's like, that says he has to give up the sword,
mm-hmm.
and the sword just breaks against it into two pieces.
Yeah, it just shatters.
Yeah, well, it describes it as shattering, and I thought, oh, it's in a million pieces, but then the way they describe it,
it's then
it's just that
few.
It's two pieces.
Oh, it's just
yeah,
two?
Yeah, it's just, it was just, that it just broke in two. That's what they say. But basically, he says, okay, I'll do it, but I need a good sword. So Regen reforges the sword.
And becomes Grom.
It's a sick sword. I don't know if it's technically as powerful as when it was originally gifted by Odin, but it's
it might have lost a little luster.
Yeah, if it had like a magical edge to it, then yeah. But it's still still the best sword out there, pretty much.
And it's got some sentimental value.
Yeah.
So you can't
sword
beat that.
Of my
you can't
father.
Put a price on family. Maybe you can.
Unless you're a character in the Volsunga saga, because
yeah.
they do it all the time.
Yeah.
Lots of betrayals.
True.
So he gets this good sword, and then he says, to test it, he takes the sword, Sigurd does, and he cuts in half the anvil that it was forged on. Just cuts it right down to the base.
Just like butter.
Just like butter.
Yeah. So, I mean,
so obviously it's a pretty great sword. Yeah. I mean, if it
sounds
cut
like
through
the
an anvil in one swing, it can probably handle a dragon.
Yeah, I would be wanting this sword if I was going to be fighting a dragon, so.
Yeah. Are you sure he didn't already have his sword or his horse in episode 1 or not episode 1 with the first one?
I don't know.
Basically, he's like, "Hey, I need to get a great horse if I'm going to pull this off." So they go and they go to where, I guess, wherever they keep all the wild horses. And so they lead all the horses to a river and they lead them deep out into the river. And all the horses freak out and try to swim back to shore immediately, except for one. And that one basically just, you know, chills in the river. Like, I guess he's the bravest horse.
Mm-hmm.
But his name is Granny, or Granny is the name of his horse. So he's like, I want that one. Obviously, this is a dope horse. So he's got the horse. And he's got the sword, and he says, "Yes, Regen, I'll slay the worm, but first I have to tend to some personal family business."
Yeah, I gotta avenge my daddy.
Yeah, because they just killed pretty much all the Volsungs except for him. So
yeah, he was like,
pretty much. I mean, there's a couple of stragglers out there, but he is the main heir. So yeah, he's got to go and avenge his dad,
Daddy Volsung.
So basically. But what he first does before he sets off is he goes to his uncle, Griffir, who basically is like a fortune teller. They basically say this guy's super wise, but he also has some kind of special knowledge of the future. And it basically says that he learns his future. Like his full future. He learns it from mm-hmm. his uncle. He's like, if I'm going to do this, I want to know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I guess he does. Yeah. Which, on one hand, I feel like that doesn't really help his case, including that in the story, because isn't it less courageous to do a courageous thing if you already know the outcome?
Yeah.
He's still a badass, though.
Yeah. I don't know. If I were writing the story,
they explain later on that they say he basically knew the truth of what would happen in his life the whole time, but he just kind of like pushed it to the back of his mind because it does not end well for any of the Volsungs.
No, it does not.
Sagas eventually come to an end.
Yeah.
Anyhow, he gathers up his forces, and he sets off back to his father's land to get it all back.
Yeah.
To bring back the dynasty.
Yeah. Kills a bunch of Huns.
The Hundings, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, they get there, and they're like, "You killed my daddy."
Mm-hmm.
And then they just ride into battle, and since Sigurd is the best of the best, he basically just he sweeps up shop.
And he has his new sword.
Yeah, he has a new sword and a dope horse. He kills everybody.
Yeah, I mean, he's unstoppable.
That's when he becomes known as the next one, the next badass.
The big boy.
Because his father was before.
Big man on campus.
He's got big shoes to fill. So he eventually, you know, he just kind of gets it back and, you know, sets the record straight, clean the slate.
Mm-hmm.
And he heads back and he's like, "Okay, Regen, I'm going to kill this stupid freaking dragon for you."
Yeah, he's like, I've taken my taken care of my personal matters.
Yeah.
I'm ready to get out there. Take this dragon down.
For sure. So yeah, basically, so
he goes to Fafnir's lair.
Well, basically, Regen takes him just to kind of show him what he's going to be dealing with, right? Cuz he takes him where the dragon drinks from the river every day and says, "That's that's the dragon you're after. Check him out."
Mm-hmm.
And They describe it as he's laying on top of a cliff that's about like 200 feet tall.
Yeah, it's
and he stretches his neck down to drink from the water below. So this dragon is of
it's big.
Godzilla proportions.
Yeah, it's quite large.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big dragon.
He's a big boy.
200 feet, like so a 200 foot neck essentially. I mean, how big do you think? What are you guessing on wingspan here?
Wingspan?
If it's this neck thing's alone
this thing's
got
to be like 1,000 feet long from wingtip to wingtip, right?
Yeah. Because
the wingspan of a dragon is typically at least as large as its body.
Yeah.
So if just the torso part with the neck, because he probably puts his little dragon claws, digs them into the cliff and reaches down. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not a dragon doctor, but yeah, with the tail. But the wingspan, though, basically, this dragon is just, it's gigantic.
Man, that's huge.
It is.
See, how big of a lair would you need then? I mean, if this thing is that big.
Pretty huge, yeah. Man. Because remember, they said that the lair, the cave, is basically hidden behind a gigantic roaring waterfall.
Mm-hmm.
That is, the force of that waterfall is so powerful that even Otter, who just loved chilling in the water and getting fish,
yeah, you can't get
he wouldn't go through it. Yeah. Yeah, he was like, this is too much.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's
makes it the perfect
it's tall
place.
Cave, tall cliff. Yeah, it's big, and that's just how much gold there is. It's full of gold.
Yeah,
the thing is, that's the problem though. They make the dragon seem so big, and then you know there'd have to be so much gold, and yet they don't really address all of the gold.
Yeah,
but anyhow,
it's just endless though.
So how's he gonna kill this thing? I mean.
Well,
what's his game plan?
He's got a sword, so I'm assuming that what he's thinking is like, I gotta hit it with the sword. That's probably his game plan.
He's betting that some kind of stabbing motion.
Yeah.
Might
so
do.
He decides to dig a ditch into this gold to hide and wait for Fafnir. Wait for like the perfect moment to just like reach out and stab him with the sword.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird. Region is there. With him, is he not?
For most of it, he's basically he's hiding in the bushes.
Yeah, he's hiding
like,
out.
He's like,
he's hiding
okay,
there.
You go over there, you dig the hole, and I'm gonna hide over here. I'm gonna make sure it all goes good. I'll watch your back.
It's very strange.
Basically, Regan is a coward.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got skills to make swords and stuff, but he's a coward.
Yeah, but he reaches out, he finds the opportune moment, he stabs Fafnir, and kills him.
Yeah, he basically waits until the dragon sort of like slither crawls over top of him and then jumps up under or like around his belly or his heart or whatever.
Less protection there. No
yeah,
armor
yeah. I
scales.
Guess there's a weak spot that he knew about, and
he
said that he jammed it in all the way like to the hilt, right?
But the blood from this dragon, obviously big dragon, a lot of blood. It starts to fill up the ditch and surrounding other like little enclaves in the gold with the blood. It just fills up. And Regan's like, I'm a little thirsty. So he goes down, drinks Fafnir's blood. Kind of weird.
He does, and so does Sigurd.
Yeah.
Sigurd drinks the blood, and apparently that gives you a lot of wisdom.
Yeah, you can learn a lot.
And in blood. Sigurd's case, it actually gave him the ability to understand birds.
Nope, that is not the blood, actually. That is the heart.
Is it the heart that gives him that skill?
Yeah, Regan's like, hey man, like I'm drinking all this blood. You want
to
start frying
smart.
Up the heart.
Heart gives you like supernatural powers.
Yeah. So yeah, he's like, hey, like, can you cook the heart, please?
Mm-hmm.
Throw
it on the grill.
I have to ask you to do everything for me.
Yeah, grill it
up. Sigurd's like, all right, yeah, I'll cook it. He's cooking it. I'm assuming he's got it. Like I'm picturing they're just sitting on this sea of gold. And he's got it just like on his sword.
He's got like a fire like, on top of the gold.
Yeah, and he's just like fire. Roasting it over. I don't know how this is happening. But it's funny. I like how they said this. It wasn't like the heart is done and they're eating it. It's like Sigurd checks to see if it's done cooking yet. And he has a bite. And then he gains the power to understand the speech of birds from that.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Or no, yeah. And so the funny thing about it is that as soon as he gets this power, what he's hearing is that the birds are basically talking shit.
Yeah.
Mostly about Regan.
Yeah.
They basically say, you know, he can't trust this guy. He just asked him to kill his own brother.
Yeah.
And which is a shitty thing. No matter what kind of beef you have with your family, that was not a good thing to do to... I mean, that was especially taboo to kill your own... Or to have your own family members killed.
Mm-hmm.
So they're basically saying, you know, Regan's a coward, and he's going to betray this. He's going to betray Sigurd.
Yeah, they're calling him out.
And, yeah, they're calling him out, and Sigurd's just like...
Man, what a time to gain the speech of birds. Like, what a time for that knowledge to come in handy.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and it states in the text that he uses that skill for the rest of his life. When something bad is coming, he can never be taken unawares because the birds travel faster and they speak loudly and he can hear.
Yeah, I guess they do.
What's coming.
Yeah.
You know?
Which, that's also something that happens in Lord of the Rings, in the first one, I believe. Yeah, when the Fellowship is running across... And a bunch of birds come in, and they're Saruman spies, and like they fly around report, and they hear, and they fly back to Saruman. And they tell him,
yeah.
I don't know. It just made me think of that when I was reading that part.
Yeah, and anyhow, you know, before this, the dragon is dead. You know, it basically just says the same thing to Sigurd that was told to him or to his father, or no, to Loki by the dwarf.
Yeah.
He says, "This gold will be the end of you. It'll be your bane."
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, and basically what he says is this gold will kill you, like you'll end up being dead.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, so you should just leave the gold and go home. And Sigurd basically says, the only way I would leave the gold and go home is if I had a guarantee that by leaving it, I would become immortal. He basically says, all men die eventually, so basically I should just go ahead and enjoy this wealth.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he says, all men meet their end, all men have their bane. But this way I get gold.
Yeah.
So I'm taking it.
Yeah.
This way I get to ball out of control, so I'm taking it.
But, I mean, before leaving, he doesn't take all the gold.
Right. He only takes as much as he can fit on his horse.
Which...
A couple
still
chests.
Still gotta be a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, before he leaves, he kills Regan. He's like, you know what, man? Those birds are right. You're probably gonna betray
him. Well, he doesn't just kill him. He cuts his head off.
Yeah.
His cap was detated from his head.
Yeah. Then he just piles up as much gold as he can. Did you come across this? He picks up something called the Helm of Terror.
I thought it was called the Helm of Awe.
I think translations.
Yeah, translation.
Yeah, the Helm of Terror, Helm of Awe.
Yeah, I guess it just makes you
more terrifying and awesome. I couldn't find much on that.
Yeah, they don't really explain the powers.
I came up with a bunch of stuff from like Skyrim and video games when I did searches for that.
Yeah.
But he also grabs the ring. We can't forget that.
He's got the ring. And he also, he doesn't eat the full heart. He takes the rest of it with him.
Yeah. A little snack for later.
On his journey.
Yeah, I mean, he's about to go on a long ride, so he's going to need some road trip snacks.
Yeah, well, when the birds are basically talking shit, I like to picture it this way, right? He kills a dragon, gets a taste of the heart, and then he's just chilling there with, you know, Regan, and he's just like, yeah, good fire. Good job killing that dragon, bro. And he hears the birds, and he's just like, eh. And then takes out his sword and just lops off his head.
Yeah.
You know? It's just, it's a comical image. Because it doesn't really say that he deliberates much. I mean, he pretty much takes the bird's word as gospel. He's like, these birds are right. These tiny pea-brained birds are right. I got to kill this guy.
Yeah.
So he just does it. But they also say... They say that he should take the gold and go to a place called Hindfell, where sleeps the fairest maiden, Brynhild.
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 Yeah.
Have you seen Django Unchained? The doctor.
Christoph Waltz character.
Yeah,
tells the story.
I'm Dr. King Schultz.
Yeah.
Yeah, he basically tells...
The story of Brynhilde.
Yeah, I guess it's supposed to be the same... character.
Yeah, he mentions in the movie, he says it's a German legend that, I mean, all Germans know, and it's
wrong.
But yeah, it's more of a...
Well, it's probably just adapted by many cultures.
It's a Germanic thing, which Germanic peoples, like, that's where we get most, like, a lot of Northern Europeans today.
Yeah.
All from Germanic tribes, so...
Yeah.
I guess I take it to mean that.
But, yeah, even though you could consider Iceland and, I guess, Scandinavia to be, like, sort of like the seat of Norse, you know, lore, mythology, things like that, it was really a more widespread cultural
phenomenon. Yeah, those beliefs were not just held by
the people. Many people knew about the Volsungs. They were The real OGs.
Yeah. Yeah, the real OGs.
But yeah, so Regis dead, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to take all the gold I can get, and I'm going to go get me a new gal.
Oh, yeah, new gal. Brunhild.
You know? Brunhild.
What a beautiful name.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's supposed to be beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, back then, I'm sure people were like, my gosh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah. But. Anyhow, he goes, and basically, as he rides closer to this old abandoned castle, this, like, it's they describe it like a white light or like a bright light that's almost like a from a flame.
Yeah.
Like, kind of blinds him, but he just pushes on through. I didn't really understand what they
were. Yeah, that was kind of strange. It was like nothing really came of that.
I think what it's supposed to eventually be is, like, only certain people can ride through that, because like later on they kind of describe it, I think if it's the same thing, they kind of describe it as like a fire that only people of certain caliber can pass through. I'm not sure,
possibly,
but basically he braves the storm. He goes in to the castle, and he sees a hot chick, and she's all wrapped up in this heavy thick chainmail.
Yeah,
like a bright and shiny chainmail. And I don't know what his logic was, but basically he takes out a sword and just cuts through. She's sleeping, by the way. She's just asleep. She probably looked dead. But he basically just slices through the chainmail with a sword. I mean, chainmail sits against your skin, so I guess he was pretty precise.
Yeah.
Maybe he thought, there's no one around, so why don't I just massacre this person too? I don't know.
Yeah.
But basically, by cutting the chainmail, he frees her from the sleep.
Yeah.
It's basically like kind of like Sleeping Beauty, sort of.
Yeah, a little bit.
She is kind of like Sleeping Beauty. And she basically explains that the reason she is in this weird magical coma is that there was, I guess, she's a shield maiden. So she's a warrior.
Yeah.
And basically she helped defeat an enemy that was promised victory by Odin. So these two kings or chiefs or whatever are fighting, and Odin says, okay, you're going to win. And she's like, no, I'm killing you. So she killed the guy who was supposed to win. So Odin got pissed, and he pricks her with the sleep thorn, some kind of magical sleep thorn, and puts her into a coma.
Yeah.
Basically, I think the intent is that she will never, like, have victory again.
Yeah.
Like, because I guess she was particularly proud of that victory. So
he's
well, I'm going to make you sleep forever so you can never win any more battles.
Because she'll just be sleeping.
And I guess they don't really explain it. I don't know if it's the sword breaking the chainmail, or maybe it has something to do with the fact that Sigurd is technically descended from Odin, technically.
Yeah.
Like maybe the blood of Odin can have some kind of effect.
Yeah, like if his relation can somehow reverse since he, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe if someone who's related to Odin says, wake up, they can wake up.
Yeah. The rules are very, very, very gray.
They're very messy.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, anyhow, basically, she's a know-it-all, kind of. I mean, she shows herself to be a wise person. I guess they just have a conversation, and he's like, hey, you got a great personality. You're real smart. I'm sure it was her personality that he was most attracted to. But he says, why don't you tell me more stuff?
Yeah.
Like, tell me, give me more of your wisdom so that I can become the best of the best.
Yeah.
The best around. I don't want to let anything keep me down, you know?
No, sir.
So she's like, all right. So she just gives him some basic life advice. I mean, I don't know. Hacks. It's not, some life hacks for him. Yeah. It's not really that.
Nothing life-changing, really.
Found. She just says, like, it's basically just like, don't listen to the haters. Stay away from party girls.
Yeah.
And don't listen to drunks. If you make a promise, keep it.
The classics, really.
Treat dead bodies nicely, so don't do weird shit with dead bodies, which is,
I mean,
that's solid advice.
We should all, we should all adhere to that rule.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So. And basically, she says, don't trust someone who asks you to kill their kin. So.
Yeah, and he's like.
He killed. Oh, yeah, he's like, I got that one.
Yeah.
I did it.
Yeah. Good thing I knew that one already. I got a
gold star teacher.
Yeah. Also. Never trust a guy in a tunic.
But he basically says, I like you for your personality. And then they hook up, basically.
Yeah.
I mean,
it worked. Even back then, it worked.
To get it on.
Classic move.
So he's got all of the, you know, he becomes more famous because he becomes known as Sigurd Fafnir's Bane, because he was the Bane of Fafnir.
Yeah,
he killed
it's a cool dragon. Name.
Well, he also becomes known for all of his dope weapons and armor. Everything's golden.
Mm.
You know, he's got riches.
And he's got the ring, too, so he can just keep, you know.
Yeah, basically infinite power and wealth. Gold. And he puts a dragon as his symbol on all of his, you know.
Yeah, because he's like...
His weapons, his shields.
I killed the dragon. I can,
he becomes super famous. He's basically the Michael Jordan.
He's the dragon.
The heroes.
Born. Oh, yeah. Or that.
Basically.
Yeah. And, yeah. He's the dragonborn.
He is a bad mamma jamma.
Yes, he is.
Mm. Yeah.
Excuse me. Well.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
They kind of decide that they're going to be together. Like, basically, they take an oath of, like, I'll wait for you.
Yeah. It got really bogged down here for me.
Yeah. There are parts that are just straight up confusing.
Yeah.
And I guess...
Most of this
last Well, it's like a game of telephone. Someone tells you the story one way, and then maybe they kind of changed from how they heard it.
Yeah.
And then you're just trying to... Tell it the same way, and then you change it a little more.
Also, there's a warning at the beginning of the book saying that it's all the original text, and texts have been lost, mistranslated, parts are missing.
Yeah, stuff is
and
missing.
They published it the way it was because they're like, we're not going to alter it. We're just going to publish it as is. Some of it's missing. Some of it's confusing. Also, it was written a long time ago, so... Yeah. So now I think in the end is probably where I started picking up and noticing, oh, maybe this is one
it
of the parts
like
they were talking
were
about
pieces.
That pieces we're missing from, because I'm very confused right now.
Yeah, but anyhow, they basically say, you're the love of my life, and yet they just kind of part ways for a bit.
They're like...
That's why I was confused. I was like, okay, this would be where they probably get married, because that's what they all do. They're like, oh, I like you, let's get married.
Yeah.
And they start a kingdom, but he basically just takes off, and he comes upon the kingdom of Hymir, who is, well, I don't know if he really has much of a kingdom, but he's got something. He's married to Brynhild's sister, Beckhild, or Becky.
Breckhild.
Becky, basically.
Yeah, Becky.
And he has a son named Alswid. They don't really elaborate more on those characters, but basically... Sigurd's just hanging out with everybody, you know, and he says, hey, let's go hunting, see if we can get some cool stuff. And so they do. He takes the whole gang hunting, and he comes upon yet another castle or tower or whatever, and he finds out that Brynhild is in there, so he basically is just like, hey, let me, I'm gonna go talk to this girl. Why don't you guys just wait out here, just wait. And they're like, what the fuck? Like, I thought we were gonna have fun and go hunting. And now you're going to ditch us
for
some chick?
For the lady, man.
He's like, come on, man. You know how it is. Look, I got a dragon on my shield. Let me do this. And they're like, you know, that is a dope dragon. All right. Go ahead. Go ahead. So basically, they hang out again. Second date. And he's basically just, they're just whispering sweet nothings. And she basically says, bro, I like you, but you shouldn't trust women. Especially not pretty women. Don't give them the power. And I feel like if any of this really happened, she probably didn't say that. They probably just included that in the story.
Yeah.
Like as a little moral whatever. And she's like, bro, I'm a shield maiden. I ain't settling down. I got wars to fight. I got battles to win. I want to break necks and cash checks. I can't be your wife. That's what she says. She's like, this isn't for me.
Yeah, it's just not.
And he's like, but I like you a lot. And she's like, no, you're not marrying me because...
Friend zone.
Apparently she actually has her own future sight, wisdom, ability. To them, like, wisdom could be life hacks.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be actually knowing the future.
Yeah.
So she says, no, you're not going to marry me. You're destined to marry Giuki's daughter. That's G-J-U-K-I. Giuki, I guess is how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
You're going to marry his daughter, Gudrun.
Sounds like a total babe.
Oh. Okay. And before you know it, he basically meets up with Gyuki. He basically goes to see what it's all about. He's like, who is this person? Who am I going to marry? He's looking to settle down. Gyuki has three sons, Gunnar, Hogni, and Guttorm.
Yeah.
And he has a wife, Grimhild, the wise woman. All right.
Hmm? No, that's Gyuki's wife.
That's what I said.
Oh, yes. He has a wife, I thought you were,
Grimhild. Yeah. Yeah. Who is supposed to be like the wisest in all the land.
Mm-hmm. She's skilled in magic.
Yeah, she's basically like a witch, like a sage. Like a witch woman, sage, yeah. Shaman, Vegas magician of the bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one of those. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Also introduced are the characters Budli, which is, I think that's Brynhild's father. Yeah. Right? He's a king also. King Budli. Budli.
Yeah.
B-U-D-L-I. Sounds right. Budli sounds funnier. King Budli, Budli. And Brynhild's brother Atli. So basically, it's just king after king. Just a whole squad of kings hanging out, having court. And essentially, Gudrun has a dream about some kind of golden bird.
It's
it's a hawk. Golden hawk that she's just obsessed with.
Yeah.
She basically says, I would give up all my gold to have more of this hawk.
And Brunhild is like, that hawk might just be my boy Sigurd.
Yeah. Basically, she says, she goes to Brynhild to seek her sage advice.
Yeah.
And she's like, what does this mean? And so she interprets naturally Brynhild, the dream. Yeah, she's a dream interpreter.
Yeah, so she tells him kind of about Sigurd, about his Volsung heritage.
Yeah, Gudrun's basically like, who is the best of the best?
Yeah, so she's like telling him all these stories, and she's really just like hyping her up on Sigurd. She's like, she's just getting her all excited.
Yeah.
And then I believe that night Gudrun has a dream about just a handsome horse. So I don't know why she's seeing a lot of animals. I don't know. I don't want to read too far into that.
I mean, I want to assume that the animals are supposed to be kind of like Sigurd, like a metaphor for him.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, maybe she really likes horses.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But so then she goes to her sister Brunhild again. Not sister, I'm sorry.
Not sister.
She goes to Brunhild again. What does this dream mean? And she says, that is also Sigurd. And like she's like, all right, you're going to marry this guy. Like, get ready. Buckle up, basically. You're going to get married to this guy.
Yeah. But she also prophesies some pretty dark shit.
Yeah, like...
she basically says, you're going to marry the best hero ever, but it's not going to work out.
Yeah, he's going to die, and then you're going to marry Alti.
Atli,
which is Attila the Hun, if I'm not mistaken.
Is it?
That's who he is supposed to be? Like in the legend, yeah.
Wow, I did not. I had no idea.
And then all your brothers are going to die. And then your husband, Attila the Hun, is also going
to
die.
Is that really supposed to be Attila the Hun?
I believe so. No idea. I came across that quite a bit.
Okay.
So I can't confirm or deny.
That's pretty cool.
I believe so. Wow. Yeah, so basically she's like, yeah, so you're going to get married to him, then he's going to die, then you're going to get remarried, then all your brothers are going to die, and then your husband's going to die. So
yeah.
It's
but
not
there's a lot of cool
great.
Stuff that happens on the way, for
yeah,
sure.
but it's not going to work out that way.
And so Sigurd naturally just basically shows up. He just happens to kind of cross paths with this family.
Yeah.
King, they're called the Gyukings, aren't they?
Gyukingnar.
Gyuking. Gyukingnar.
Gyukingnar.
Basically, the squad of King Gyuki.
Yeah.
So basically, Sigurd just comes across him and he's chilling. He's broing down with the sons, and they're like, this guy is dumb.
Yeah,
he's the best of the best.
They think
they basically say, this guy's awesome. And he's got a ton of gold, and he killed a freaking dragon. We want him in the family.
Yeah.
And so basically they offer him Gudrun, pretty much.
Yeah, they're just like, dude,
they're
take
like,
her.
Yeah, they're basically just trying to, you know, to bring him into the fold.
Yeah.
And so at some kind of party or gathering, Grimhild, who is the wise witch woman, the wife of Kyuki, basically gets Sigurd wasted, and he basically just forgets all about the oath or the promise or whatever that he made to Brynhild, that they would just be BFFs in love forever.
Sadly.
And he just kind of gets swept away, you know? He kind of becomes part of this family, and he's like, okay, I'll marry your daughter. No big deal. And then fast forward a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's having a good old time. They're popping Molly. They're dancing in the moonlight. They're cooking up some moonshine in the stills behind the castle.
Eating Dragonheart, maybe.
Eating Dragonheart. He does give some to Gudrun, and she kind of, you know, powers up.
Mead.
Super Gudrun.
Some sweet rolls.
Yeah.
Being passed around. Yeah.
Yeah, they're having cake and eating it, too.
It's a good time.
It's a good time. It's a period of prosperity. But you just know that shit's going to go sideways.
Oh, yeah. It always does. It always does.
Yeah. So basically, Gudrun says, okay, we got the best dude. Why don't we get Brynhild into the family? Because she's super smart and can see the future.
Yeah.
So she tells her older brother, Gunnar, to go get her. She's like, go get him, champ. So basically, they go back to I don't know if it's always been the same castle or if it's a different one, but there's this ring of fire blocking the way. Gunnar's too much of a little bitch to go through it.
Yeah.
Or his horse. It's his horse that won't go through it. So he says, hey, Sigurd, you've done this thing before. You ran through the wall of light, fire, whatever it was. Let me borrow your horse, bud. But the epic horse won't do anything for him. Like, he won't obey him. So he still can't get through the fire. And I guess it's common knowledge that to be with Brynhild, you have to get through the fire.
I don't know.
Well, they kind of all seem to know that that's like the big hero's challenge.
Yeah.
And so he can't get through. But basically, Gunnar just says, okay, Sigurd, stay on your horse, but swap faces with me real quick. Do a face swap.
Yeah.
You know, get your app out, get your phones out. We'll do a face swap. You will go in as me and use your charms to basically trick Brynhild into thinking that Gunnar came to save her instead of Sigurd.
Yeah.
But does he do it? Doesn't he just stick to his morals and take the high road and avoid terrible things? He does, right?
Nah.
No, nah. He doesn't.
This is the Volsung.
I think he really just wants to get back up in there.
I mean, probably.
I think he really just likes Brynhild. He just wants an excuse. Like,
Gudrun is nice, but I mean,
but she fine.
Yeah, I mean, no one knows me like Brynhild does. He misses his Brynhild. So, yeah.
He does.
Yeah, he does.
He basically gets in there and he's like, I did it. I also rode through the fire. Now let's hook up.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really hook up technically. They say that he puts his sword in between them, even though they share a bed. To I guess...
Sounds dangerous.
Well, I don't know if it's like to protect...
Honor system? Like a... my side?
I guess. I mean, yeah basically.
And I feel like you could just like do a stick instead of like a sword that is known for being very powerful.
Yeah.
Do something else.
Well, the thing is... I forgot to mention, the first time they met, he gave her a ring, a golden ring. I don't know if it was the ring.
Yeah, it was the ring.
He gave her the golden ring. I'm guessing it doesn't just pop out gold all the time.
No, it's like got like a reset meter.
It's just like shooting out.
Yeah, gold. Or you know, it's like you have to like you wear it, and then you gotta believe the gold is there, and it will be there. I don't know.
Maybe
I would think it's like you wear it, and you're like, I want some gold right now.
Gold
pops up right there. There you go.
Yeah, and so basically he goes in and he's like, hey, I know you were hoping for Sigurd, but I also completed the hero's challenge, lady, so I deserve a shot at the title.
Yeah.
I deserve to get with you.
Be a contender.
Yeah.
There you go.
Be a contender.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, yeah, I guess. Whatever. And she gives that ring back to him. Right? She gives a ring back to him, but he gives her another ring. They basically just swap more rings.
Yeah, see, this is where, once again, it just gets
confusing. Gets all mixed up, because they don't name the magic ring from the beginning. Like, they don't consistently refer to it as this is the magic ring. They just call it the ring.
They name it like once.
Yeah,
like,
and then from then on, you don't know. Ring.
And then every time it's just like, actually oh, the ring.
Basically, you can just assume that everybody's cursed.
Yeah. Oh, I mean,
because that whole family was also, I guess, enjoying Sigurd's wealth that he had with him. So
yeah. Oh yeah.
Technically, they are also cursed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sharing is not caring in this sense. Then.
Yeah.
Well,
basically. But she gives in, she marries Gunnar, and then it's a big happy family. They got all the OGs of the kingdom all under one roof. You got Gunnar and Brynhild, and you've got Sigurd and Gudrun, and they're all just, you know, chilling out, popping out babies, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, really, they just have, Gudrun and Sigurd have a son who they name Sigmund. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice to keep the legacy alive?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Well, not really. That's where it just keeps getting more and more confusing. They could have just like...
Yeah, it's one thing to have names that all start out the same. It's another thing to start reusing the names.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's almost like you're studying like European monarchs or something. It just gets so repetitive, and it's like, I don't know which is which anymore.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Yeah. Anyhow, Brynhild and Gudrun go down to their van by the river,
mm-hmm.
and they just hang out in the water. They're bathing, I guess. And I guess Brynhild's feeling a little bit salty. She's feeling salty. She feels like she got cheated out of the love of her life. Because everyone knows that Sigurd, he's the Dragon Slayer. He's the best.
Yeah,
everyone knows he's the best. That's pretty much agreed upon. And she's like, well, why do I have second place? And basically she starts being a huge turd to Gudrun, saying, but I'm better than you. Why do you have the best? And so they start shouting, getting mad. And then to basically be an even bigger jerk, Gudrun, you know, confesses to the ruse that Sigurd, it was Sigurd both times who rode through the flames.
Yeah.
That they have taken her for a ride.
Yeah. So don't they kind of are like, well, now we, if we want to keep Brynhild in the family, we might gotta get rid of Sigurd, right?
Pretty much. That's where it ends up. Basically, Brynhild finds out. So the thing is, she said she always said that she would only marry the guy who rode through the flames and came to get her. But she already did marry Gunnar, so even though he didn't do that, she still has kind of an oath to her husband.
Yeah.
And so basically, she's locking herself away in a room, starving herself, and she's basically trying to die or acting like she's trying to die. And so Gunnar comes and he's like, yo, how do we fix this?
Yeah, so they devise this brilliant plan.
Basically, she says, Sigurd's got to go.
Yeah.
So or I go.
I don't know. This is just the funniest thing to me, how they do it.
Oh, murder is funny to you?
It is funny. Betrayal? Sometimes.
The destruction of a beautiful family?
If it's done in this
way, it's done tastefully.
So they get Guttorm.
Yeah.
The youngest of the three.
Well, basically, Gunnar and Hogni. Yeah, Gunnar and Hogni, the older two brothers, basically said, we're bros with Sigurd, and they basically made like a blood brother.
Yeah, so they can't do it.
So they can't do it.
Yeah,
but Guttorm is young and dumb, and he's ready to get some glory of his own.
But it's very strange. They give him snake and wolf meat because they're like, this will make him go crazy.
Yeah, they basically mix up like messed up meats.
Yeah, they're like, this will get him,
and that somehow like
to go ape shit,
gives him courage. Yeah,
yeah. So he goes in on this snake and wolf meat diet, and he's just going crazy. He goes violent, and
he's ready. He's pumped up. He's ready to fight the champ.
Yeah, he stabs Sigurd in his sleep.
Yeah, while he's sleeping in the bed really with his wife. His wife is there too. They're just chilling. He stabs him and runs him through Sigurd, with the sword.
Hmm?
Yeah, he runs him through with the sword.
Yeah. Sigurd wakes up before he dies from this.
Yeah, he's and, like, bro, what the fuck?
Yeah, Guttorm is trying to escape here, and he throws his sword, Grom, at him as he's leaving. Cuts him in half, Darth Maul style.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best, like...
It's a funny image.
Yeah, he's it
like,
really is.
Because he's like, he stabs him, and he's like, I killed him. And then the greatest hero of all time wakes up pissed at you. And you're like, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit. And so he's running away. And then I'm picturing the sword, being thrown, like, spinning ninja star style and cutting through his and he's body. Just like,
oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you say like it was he was running so fast that the top half of his body fell back into the room.
Yeah, like his legs basically chamber. Like kept going. Like and they felt his legs went out. Forward out of the room.
That's hilarious.
Because even though he did the deed, he's a coward too.
Yeah, that's really funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
but naturally Gudrun is pissed.
Yeah. But they also, Hill thinks it's hilarious. She laughs.
And they also kill their son.
Yeah.
Their his son Sigmund, his 3-year old son.
They put him on a bonfire, right?
Well, they kill him before that. They kill him and then they burn his body.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's only 3 years old and they kill his son.
Hmm. Well, anyway.
You find out that of course Gudrun is still pregnant. She's newly pregnant with another kid.
Oh,
so you're thinking
it never
the cycle
ends.
Continues, you know, with the Volsungs.
Not for much longer. It's about to end, though.
Yeah, it really doesn't. But basically, while Sigurd's dying, you know, if you'll remember, they had to explain Sigmund's death by saying that he lost Odin's favor. And so Sigurd basically says the same thing, but he says, they were only able to kill me because I was asleep. He's basically like, if I was awake, you wouldn't have been able to do that. You know, they feel like they really have to justify that for a hero to die, they have to be tricked or lose favor.
Mm-hmm.
They try to preserve the image, pretty much. But yeah, it's rough. And actually, when they burn the bodies, Brynhild goes with. She's completely lost her mind. She jumps onto the bonfire.
I thought she stabbed herself.
Does she?
Yeah, because she said she tells...
Maybe she stabs herself, but she ends up with the bonfire, for sure.
Yeah, no, because she makes a request to her brother Gunnar, and she says, like, her last request before she dies is she wants to be burned with Sigurd and their son.
Yeah.
So she stabs herself, saying that they made a mistake killing Sigurd. She's just... I mean, she's happy.
Basically, she just was temporarily really insane.
Yeah, and she's... I mean, she's happy that... Gudrun lost Sigurd, but so it's basically like a if I can't have him, nobody can type thing. But then she's also like, crap, Sigurd's dead. What was I thinking? Like giving the okay to this. So she stabs herself. But before she does, she's like, dude, listen up, you gotta burn me with my family. It's my last request. So
well the son is the son of Gudrun and Sigurd.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, with her husband,
she wants. Yeah,
and
well
she's
no,
burned
well,
with
she wants,
her
well,
brother she wants, with Guttorm, the guy who killed Sigurd. She's like they burn him with them as well.
Oh so, yeah. Brynhild just wants to die with Sigurd, even though they didn't really get their happy ending.
Yeah,
and so Gudrun just goes back to Alf, good old Alf, who rescued the Volsungs all those years ago.
Yeah,
and sent Sigurd to be raised by King Hjalprek.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, well, screw this. I don't want to be part of this stupid family anymore. But meanwhile, Atli, or as you say, Attila the Hun.
Possibly.
It possibly is gathering power. He's getting tough. He's getting strong. And he's Brynhild's brother. So they've got kind of a connection. And they say, well, we still got Gudrun. She can still marry. Let's get up in that family.
Mm-hmm.
So they come visit her. And basically they give her like... some kind of a drink that's kind of... it's kind of like poison, but really it just makes it easier for her to like accept their apology, pretty much. And they marry her off to Atli, and it's a loveless marriage, for sure. But naturally, Atli's going to do... he's going to pull a Sigir and try to kill her whole family and take what they've got, because they still have Sigurd's dragon gold.
Yeah.
They've got all the riches.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But something cool that I was reading was to warn her family that Atli is basically a traitor. She sends them a ring with a strand of wolf hair, like tied or knitted around it, to basically say this guy's a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's going to turn on you. And naturally, they take the warning and they live happily ever after. They don't go, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. No, they do the same thing that everyone else does. I'm not afraid. Oh, I ain't scared of him. I'll fight him anywhere, anytime.
Exactly.
So they basically go, and they're like, okay, well, why don't we just take the place over or whatever? And they try to basically defeat Atli and take all of his shit. And that's all they wanted in the first place. Naturally, they lose. Guttorm's already dead, so there's only Gunnar and Hogni.
Yeah.
They take them both captive. They're trying to figure out where the gold is, and Gunnar basically says, he basically says, I'll tell you, I would only tell you where the gold is if I knew my brother was dead, basically.
Yeah, he cuts
like they, heart yeah, out. They're like, show me his head or something. He's like, show me my brother's head. And they start bringing him like pieces from like a slave man, like a servant person. And they're like, what about this guy? Why don't you take his head? And he's like, no, I want to see my brother's head for some reason. I didn't really understand why he was saying that. But yeah, they cut his heart out.
Mm-hmm.
And now he says, psych! Now I'm the only one who knows what gold is.
Yeah.
Piece of shit. And I'm not going to tell you. So they tie him up and they throw him into a pit of snakes. And I guess they didn't really explain this. It seemed like a bit of Deus Ex
Harpus.
Basically, yeah. His sister comes and she's like, shred on the harp, bro.
Yeah.
And she throws a harp into the pit of snakes. And he basically like uses his toes to shred on the harp and put the snakes to sleep.
Yeah.
And yet the biggest snake doesn't give a fuck and just kills him anyways.
Yeah, so I guess it's not a Deus Ex Harpus because it doesn't really work out in the end.
Yeah, well, because when you're reading it, you're like, this is so stupid. He's about to escape by playing a harp with his toes and putting snakes to sleep. This is some outlandish shit. But then they're like, no, I'm just kidding. This guy's not really about to escape a snake pit by playing the harp.
Yeah, they're like, you bought that, man? Like, no, he's going to die. He's going to die.
Yeah.
But yeah, bites him in the heart and he's dead. So that...
And does Gudrun just finally let it go in the cycle of revenge? She just lets it all go?
No. She tries to kill herself later.
Well, later on, but first she's got to get rid of Atli. Well, the first thing she does, actually, and this
she kills his kids.
This is metal. She kills the kids she had with him, and mm-hmm. then she says, the wine and meat you've been drinking and eating,
yeah, it's
I
all
put their blood
stuff,
in the wine, and I put their hearts in, like, their heart was the meat.
Yeah, she fed him.
She basically fed him his own kids.
His own kids, yeah. And he, yeah, that's, ugh.
It's hardcore.
And basically, he's like, man, like, you're a terrible woman.
Yeah, he didn't seem that broken up. Like, he wasn't, like, screaming and, like, I can't believe you did this. You killed our kids. He's just like,
are you serious?
You're a turd.
Yeah, yeah, he's like, just like, on, like,
he's like,
who
come
does
on.
That?
Yeah.
Like, man, now I'm going to have to kill you. So he wants her to die.
Yeah. But instead, she actually.
Hogni's son. What is his name? Niflung?
Niblung, or yeah, well, he's got multiple names.
Niblung
is one of the names.
He wants to avenge his daddy, so he helps out his mom, Gudrun, and he stabs.
Who's his dad?
Who's dad? Niflung?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Hogni's dad, or son.
Hogni's
son.
Hogni was
his
dad. They killed Hogni, now he wants revenge.
Yes, and now he wants revenge. So he helps out his mom, Gudrun, or not his mom.
Aunt.
Aunt, sorry.
Yeah.
So convoluted.
It is.
Helps
if you
out,
try to make a family tree,
it's impossible. Yeah,
it is, especially because everyone just remarries over and over and over, and has more and more and more kids.
Yeah. So he stabs Atli while he's asleep, and they burn down his hall.
They take it all down, pretty much.
And they like a lot of Atli's people die in the fire. So
yeah. And so basically, they go to a king named Jonakr. Jonakr. That's one spelling of his name.
Oh, no, no. She, this is, they don't go to her. Gudrun is, she goes out to the sea and tries to drown herself because she's had Sigurd's kid, the one that, like,
the
other right
one.
Before Sigurd died. Was like, oh, but I have a child in my belly. So,
They have a daughter named Swanhild.
Yeah, she's beautiful, apparently.
Yeah, like apparently she's the best of the best.
But yeah, she's had this kid, so now she's like, my life sucks. Everything that, everyone that I've met is dead.
Yeah, they're all dead, but the line can continue because Swanhild
is out. So she goes
out
into
there.
The ocean and tries to just like, she's like, I'm just going to drown myself. But she gets swept away in the current, and that's how she arrives at King Jonakr's place.
Yeah.
Yeah, kingdom.
So she basically, I guess she's just ready to start
too.
She's ready to start the cycle all over again.
She's like, I might
she's
going to
marry this guy, have his
again.
Kids. He's going to get murdered. She's going to get revenge.
Yeah.
Jump back into the sea, get picked up by somebody else.
Yeah, but so, they get married. They have three kids. Hamdir, Sorli, and Erp.
Erp.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Erp. I'm going to name one of my Erp. Kids Erp.
You headed down to the fish fry?
Yeah. Then another king, King Jormunrik.
Jormunrik, yeah.
Yeah, Jormunrik. He wants to marry Swanhild.
Yeah, he hears that Swanhild is the best ever.
Yeah, and he's like, wow, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
So he wants to marry her, but someone else...
Well, he sends his son, Randver, according to the text, he sends his son to go pick her up, and basically his son falls in love with her on the way.
Yeah.
So they kill her.
Yeah, pretty much. She gets trampled by horses.
Yeah, right? they have horses just, like, run over her repeatedly.
Yeah.
Trample her to death.
And then Gudrun encourages her sons with King Jonakr, you know, the three sons that she's had. She's like, you guys got to go, you know, avenge your half-sister there and kill Jormunrik.
Yeah. The cycle of revenge continues.
Yeah.
But...
But, yeah, so her her son, Erp, is kind of hesitant. So when her other two sons, Hamdir and Sorli, are like, Erp, you down to avenge your sister and kill this guy, he's just kind of like, yeah. And they're like, all right, he's got to die. So they kill their own brother. They're like,
naturally, there's
like, you're not motivated enough to do this, so we're going to kill you. So they kill him. And then they're like, as soon as they do it, they're like, oh, we shouldn't have killed him.
Yeah.
They're like, man, that was a bad idea. Because we were mad, but, like, he didn't deserve to die.
It doesn't really say. Do you think that they had the gold by then? Do you think that they went back and got it or something? Because that might explain why they would. I think that's what's supposed to explain all these crazy actions of killing, and is like, they're cursed. So, like, they are fated to make shitty choices and basically die for it.
Yeah. But I mean, I have no idea. It's just, and this is where it gets me, like, the way this all ends, I don't understand. It kind of makes me mad. It's like they regret killing Erp.
Yeah.
I mean, sad to see Erp go. So they go on and they find King Jormunrik and they cut off his hands and his feet.
They kind of get their revenge.
Yeah, kind of. But then Odin comes along again. He just likes to interfere. So he just, like, pops up and he's like, hey,
Jormunrik. Hey, everybody, it's Odin time.
Yeah. And he's like, hey, Jormunrik, why don't you kill those boys by throwing some rocks at them? And he's like,
well, by having all of the people throw the rocks, right?
Yeah, exactly. Not just
because he can't throw the rocks. He has no hands.
He has no hands. But he's like, why don't you have him killed by throwing some rocks at him? And he's like, that's a great idea. That's and so he idea. Does. So they have...
He hobbles on over.
Yeah. All these people start throwing rocks at who we got? We got Hamdir and Sorli right now.
He's feeling very sorely after those rocks. Yeah.
And they're killed. And that's it. That's how it ends.
That's it. That's so the saga, like, of the Volsungs. Swanhild was a dud.
Two of them avenging their half sister's death, and then they get.
And it all ends with Odin. I feel like Odin's supposed to be the one who kind of ends the cycle of.
Yeah, but why did it have to end like that? Like, why did they have to die?
It's not a great ending.
Like, bitches.
Well, the thing is, it carries on after Swanhild dies, even though she is technically the last Volsung. Or is. No, because Sinfjolli is dead. Yeah, there's no others left roaming around.
No, they're all
gone. You know?
I mean, why does it have to end that way? But it's the curse of the gold. Well,
at the same time, if they didn't end it there, they would just do another go around.
Yeah, they would be like, but there was another kid, and that kid grew up and got married. And
he
had
was
three
even
sons.
Better. I know we said the last champion was better, but this
is the better one.
The true badass.
Yeah. They got married. They had some kids. Their kids killed each other. The surviving kids did something. And then had another kid. They grew up to be the better one and the better one. And it just goes on and on.
But did you like the story overall?
I did like the story.
I feel like it started stronger than it ended.
Yeah, towards the end, not only did it just, like, start to make less sense, but it also just, it did drag on. Like, it was like, okay, you could have ended it just a little bit after
Well, there was no reason for Sigurd to have had any kids. They could have just been like, oh, it ends with Sigurd dying and being burned in the funeral pyre.
Yeah, or he could have had a kid and it just left like, but the kid had a normal life. Like, that's it. Like,
the kid moved to America and became the president of the United States.
That kid grew up to be Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, like... And it dragged
probably
on.
Nixon, because it seems like the Vol songs were really good at like deceit.
Yeah.
So
now, have you seen
Richard
those?
Nixon was the last Vol song.
Have you seen those memes though, where it's like in 2003, Britney Spears like saw a young black boy crying on the corner. She came up and told him everything's gonna be okay, and that man grew up to be Barack Obama,
even though he's way older.
Yeah, it's 2003.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it could have ended a lot sooner, and they could have had more name diversity. But overall, I really liked it.
It's a fun read. It's a little dense, so honestly, my recommendation would be to just read through it and not get too caught up in the characters and the families.
Yeah. Or remember
Sigmund and Sigurd.
Yeah,
on those ones, you might want to make sure you really know who they are, but. Yeah, it's better. I could see it being cool, being told as a story, speaking the verses or whatever.
Yeah,
acting it out. I can see why it could last, why it would be so popular.
Yeah, I can see that. I would recommend people read J.R.R. Tolkien's The Legend of Sigurd and Gudrun.
There you go.
That's the sort of Volsung fan fiction that he wrote.
So he basically took the plot details and wrote.
Mm-hmm. He adds in a lot more backstory on things. Like I said, making Hreidmar a demon.
Yeah.
He adds his own Tolkien twist, Tolkien Pepsi twist on there. I haven't read it yet, but I would like to. But I've heard people say it's the best adaptation of Volsung. Lore.
Yeah. So
check it out. If you're interested, check out some of that stuff. There's a lot of stuff on the internet, lots of YouTube videos, or you can get the book that the Junior here and I we read to research for this episode, The Volsunga Saga by Eriker Magnusson and William Morris. So that was a good one. That's what we read in.
It's dense. There's actually a lot more in there after the saga of the Volsungs.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Volsungs is the main sort of the main like first half of it, but then it's got smaller legends, related legends. Yeah. So.
But it's good. It's a good read. So check
it is.
Out.
It's good. I mean, obviously, Lord of the Rings is better. So
yeah, Tolkien.
So now we need to take Lord of the Rings.
And we need to make it better.
We're inspired by that, and then we'll just end the cycle. Continues.
Oh God, I'm sorry, Tolkien.
We could never approach the greatness.
No.
What are you gonna bet? Somebody's gonna shoot us an email and be like, "Hey, just so you know, he was a racist."
Was he?
I don't think so. But
I don't think so. I hope not.
But isn't that always weird when like you have your idols and then someone's like, "Yeah, that guy liked pineapple on pizza." And then like, you just like the most subhuman trash.
Yeah, you're like no.
I looked up to that guy? Are you kidding me?
Oh, God.
Anyhow, keep these heroes in mind. Be your own Volsung.
Yeah. That's the first lore hour. We're done.
The first couple of lore hours.
Well, the first lore hour story.
Yeah.
Same story. Two
it's,
parts.
It was a dense one.
Yeah.
We'll Next keep them time, coming.
We'll do something. We'll try and pick something that has a lot of different names
and a little more plot variation, because this plot is just
less
murder, betrayal, get revenge, and then do some murdering, and then get
it was
revenged
a good start,
against you. And
good start to the lore hour.
It was, and it's highly recommended.
Yeah, but we're gonna have a lot more lore hour stuff coming your way.
We will, and
in the weeks to come,
we'll put those little clues up on the website. And
Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
And like we said, if you had thoughts, want to tell us your own story, maybe you know an epic hero. Probably not.
Maybe you are your own epic
maybe
hero.
You are. Maybe you want to tell us your own saga. Shoot us an email, thefolks@menbodyingdogspodcast.com.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Get home safe.